You are listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, September 17th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host today, and we're right at the bottom of the hour. And it's a special show. We have a live audience down here at KTOO. How's everyone doing out there? We're here live with Peter Kenyon at 360 in the KTOO building, talking about life in Alaska and life abroad, life in Washington. And right now, I think we have a question going to the Southeast Coast Alaska News Director, Jacob Resnick. Welcome.
Hi there, Peter.
Hey, Jacob.
So a question for you. You mentioned you cover Turkey and you cover Iran. And this question might be a little inside baseball, but I thought it could be interesting because people are curious how they get their world news. Excuse me. So I was based in as an Istanbul course up on it for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And Turkey is very in the center of things. And it's got land borders with like 8 countries. But I found that a lot of times there's this kind of very provincial idea within assignment editors of which correspondence should cover which issues. So, for example, the person in Cairo should by default cover North Africa, or the person in Beirut should cover all most of the northern Middle East. And so I'm just quite curious at how those decisions are made at NPR, who covers what. I've noticed recently I'm hearing a lot of, you know, what's happening in Idlib. It's coming from reporters based in Beirut, which when you look at a map, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me because Turkey is borders with the Idlib province.
Well, and when they go in or to the border, they go through Turkey. In fact, I think they're working on a visa for Raqqa right now. But that's their job. That's their beat. They have the Syria beat, and that was decided back in Washington, and Beirut was one option for where they could be based. It could have been the Turkey person, but they were assigned to cover that particular conflict. So I help out on the edges every once in a while.
And do you find yourself ever going into like parts of the former Soviet Union that border Turkey? So for, again, like Georgia and Turkey are very much more interlinked than they are with Moscow.
Yeah, I have not been to Georgia. I would like to go. I've been to Kazakhstan. And they were doing some nuclear talks there, and that's a fascinating place. I'd love to go back there and do some stories. Yeah, it has traditionally been more the Moscow person's beat, but as you point out, Turkey's got great connections. A lot of those populations are minority populations in Turkey, so yeah, it's a great place to cover those areas from.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jacob.
Thinking about some of the perspectives and lessons that you've gleaned and learned over the years as a journalist abroad, and like we said, starting in a small town like Petersburg, mm-hmm. what advice do you have for us in a smaller community or small community journalism? What are you going to talk to the students tomorrow at UAS?
Well, I'm still working on that, but I mean, it's great that there's still a lot of interest in journalism. You know, we keep hearing all the horror stories about, you know, the internet's going to wreck it, the media's going to have to change, what's going to work, how's anyone going to get paid doing news anymore. So the idea that there's still, you know, full classes of people who want to get involved is pretty good, I think. I'm kind of happy to see that. You know, I don't think there's any one formula. As I'm an example of someone who just stumbled into it, but there's people who get very focused and know what kind of journalism they want to do, business, arts, politics, whatever. And that is a path that can work really well, too.
What is it about your makeup as a person that makes you enjoy journalism or that makes you good at it? Are you curious? Do you like telling stories?
Yeah, well, like I said, I always fancied myself something of a writer, and this was the only way I could really make it work. And I do enjoy telling stories. I enjoy figuring out stories. I mean, you don't have as much control when you're a journalist. You have to get someone else's story right, or sometimes an issue that involves a lot of different points of view, which is a challenge that I like. And you learn so many new things. In the beginning especially, I got to learn about fishing. I got to learn about local politics, all kinds of different things. Then you have to become sort of an instant expert and immerse yourself. And it's a good discipline to really try and know what you're talking about a little bit.
Speaking of the beginning, I think we have an image of you in the KFSK newsroom.
yeah, that was the usual uniform. That's what I wore on the air. Yeah.
And listeners, if you want to see this picture, you can go to ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
So I'm just wondering, Bill, is it okay if we wear cutoff Levi shorts?
As long as you have white socks on, yeah.
And Chuck Taylors.
Yeah, those are classics. And notice the typewriters.
And coming, I guess, why don't we stay here in Alaska?
No, let's move on.
Stay here in Alaska anyway, and you are also a fisher person. You just got off a fishing trip, and I think we have a picture of that as well.
I'm a barely tolerable deckhand is what I am. I'm not. I wouldn't say I can be trusted with anybody's boat.
Tell us about you and your wife, if you will, and your life when you do come to Alaska.
Well, I was very lucky to fall in love with and marry an Alaska fisherwoman who's been willing to go to all these crazy places I've been assigned to. And she comes back every summer, so she keeps her job as a fisherwoman. She mainly fishes in Yakutat, has for the last 20 years. But her dad's a hand troller out of Petersburg. And so that was me in the back deck of his boat. I guess that's around Kings Mill over in Chatham near Security.
How many days ago?
Oh, just a week ago. We were out for 2-3 weeks. This weather, as you can see, was already beautiful back then. So it was, great fun.
Yeah, the right summer to be fishing in Southeast, at least for the weather-wise.
He was praying for rain because he gets more fish than usually, but I suffered through it.
What kind of fish is that right there?
That's coho, not especially big, but we caught a few big ones.
All right. I don't know that too many people knew that you were a deckhand on a fishing boat.
Well, I only do it for a few weeks a year, and I don't get paid for it.
I was going to ask you how much you charge per hour.
I think that's one reason he lets me come back.
Yeah. All right. So we're just here in Alaska. I'm going to go back to Istanbul here for a minute. I was asking you about a day in the life in Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
To get a little glimpse of social life in Istanbul, we have a clip here from a fellow Juno Afternoon host and longtime public media volunteer and worker, Andy Klein. He has a story about you in Istanbul.
Does he? Okay.
Let's go ahead and take a listen.
I had my most memorable Thanksgiving in Istanbul with Peter Kenyon. Which is a weird thing to say.
What year? How'd this happen?
Well, it was about, I think it was 2009, I want to say, maybe 2010. It wasn't that long ago. And it was right before Peter got assigned to Cairo, where he was in Istanbul. They went to Cairo. Is he back in Istanbul now?
Yes.
Okay. So, Peter was very, very generous because I'm just a casual acquaintance of Peter. He was here still in Southeast Alaska working when I first got here in 1991. So we had met a few times. And, of course, he's been a hero for years of someone who's upholds the great principles of what public radio can be all about. But he is friends with my partner, Heather Bradner, has a twin sister named Heidi Bradner, and she was a photographer for the Juno Empire for a while here in the late 80s and early 90s. And then she has gone on to a fantastic career as a worldwide renowned photographer working out of London and does a lot of work in the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, and Russia and also Chechnya, and is known for the work there. So anyway, she knows Peter. We were in Istanbul on a family trip. Heather and Heidi's parents were having an anniversary, so we went on a great family trip. We were in Istanbul, and so we called Peter, and we said, hey, what's going on? How's it going? It happened to be, you don't think about this when you're in Istanbul, but it happened to be Thanksgiving, which is not a holiday at all in Istanbul. But Peter said he was going to get together for a Thanksgiving dinner at his translator's home. And so his translator was a young woman working in Istanbul who was – and then you realize very quickly, oh, yeah, Istanbul is a very cosmopolitan city. There was this group of young people there, like there are in all cities, who were hip and happening and doing cool things. And this group of people had been educated in American schools and English-speaking schools in Istanbul, and many of them had even gone to college in New York and other places like that.
And probably had a Thanksgiving in America
at some point. And that, right. So the thing that happened that was interesting was Heather actually couldn't go, so it was just Heidi and I, which was already weird because they're identical twins. So for me to go with Heidi is a strange phenomena. But Heidi knew Peter really well, and he was really glad to see her. But there was a couple things that we kind of thought of and didn't realize. One was we were being asked to go to this person's home, and we thought we had in our heads we were going to get a traditional Turkish meal that was going to be this amazing spread. When we got there, we realized, oh, no, actually they were trying to recreate an American Thanksgiving in Istanbul, which meant they had to find, like, the one turkey in Istanbul because it's not something they eat there. So that was one thing. And the second thing that we realized, and it hit us the second we got to the door, was we realized, oh, yeah, these are all young people in Turkey. They all smoke like chimneys. They all, you know, Turkish tobacco is a proud, element and product of Turkey. And you know, it was just young people. They're, you know, cosmopolitan. Just like if you were going out to New York, a lot of these young people might be smoking.
Smoked turkey, so to speak.
So and it was so amazing because we walked in, our eyes are almost bleeding after about half an hour, and Peter in fact also, and I think he'll probably remember that, although maybe he's used to it, you know, working there for so long. But the thing that I remember so distinctly was we hung out for a while, had a few drinks, and then they said, okay, time for dinner. And everyone went over to a small table first before they went to the main table. And at the small table were packs of cigarettes and ashtrays and a book of matches for every single person, like as a special fun party thing. And everyone just took one and went over and just lit up everyone. And the guy carving the turkey was a very nice young guy. Actually had a butt going in his finger in the carving hand while he's carving the turkey. Like, that's how much these people were smoking. It was insane. So anyway, that's the big thing I remember about Turkey there. It was they tried their best. It wasn't the best Thanksgiving meal I'd ever had because they're in Istanbul. It's hard to recreate the stuff. But so I think getting cranberries was a international operation for them, and getting the turkey was tough, but they did their best. It was amazing. They were very gracious. It was very nice to be in a home for Thanksgiving, and I went through it with Peter Kenyon, of all people.
Turkey and turkey with Peter Kenyon.
That's right.
Andy Klein, do you have anything you want to say to Peter here on this Monday?
Peter, it's great to have you back in Southeast Alaska, at least for a brief time. You've been an inspiration for all of us working in public radio in Alaska for many years, and we love just hearing you, and we love your insight, and love knowing that you have a piece of Alaska with you every time you're reporting something important that's going on in the international world. So thanks for being here, and thanks for taking the time to come back.
That was Andy Klein talking about Peter Kenyon. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, September 17th. Scott Burton, your host. Shelley Delaney is engineering. We're here with Peter Kenyon. It looks like we have a question from Sarah Schaefer, KTOO Development Director.
Yeah, hi, Peter. Thanks for coming. I was just wondering, you mentioned Soraya Sorati Nelson, who's now covering Berlin. So, you know, I imagine it could be kind of a lonely job to be out, you know, and not have your peers next to you in the studio or in an office space. Do you guys get together, all of your correspondents? Are you called back to Washington for a big powwow? Also, I could imagine there are some experiences that people that work in Washington don't relate to, like flying bullets next to your head. Do you get together and debrief? And
not specifically. We used to when the war in Iraq was going. All of us who covered Iraq, there was must have been 10 or 12 of us. Who did rotations. We would all gather in one of the neighboring countries of Iraq once a year to plan out what our next year's coverage was going to be. But really, it was just to be with everybody and relax and, talk about our experiences. And that was very nice. But it is kind of rare when you're a foreign correspondent. You don't get to do that very often. It really, you know, you're just there with your translator and you're working all the time. So it was great to run into Soraya every once in a while, and hope to do that again, and some of my other colleagues as well. But, yeah, it doesn't happen as often as you'd like.
And I have one follow-up question that is more political related.
Okay.
Apparently, you know, there's a lot going on with Erdogan, and, you know, it's definitely strained the relationship between Turkey and the European Union. I'm from Germany, so that I follow that pretty closely. Well, what do you think the chances are that Turkey will join the European Union at one point?
Well, it depends how far out you want to put that point. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll happen anytime soon. In theory, I think it would be a good thing, but there's some very serious obstacles. Turkey has an anti-terrorism law that the EU just can't abide. It doesn't fit under EU laws, and they have no intention of changing it. At the moment, their main worry is a wave of refugees coming in from Idlib across the border. They've already got 3.5 million Syrian refugees. There's 3 million more potential if that bombardment there takes place. So that's their main focus. They sort of have backed off on the EU accession process to the point where all they're really asking for now is relaxed visa rules. And they're not really even close to getting that at this point. So I think they would like to. This is a very headstrong president, though, who's likely to be in charge for a pretty long time. I mean, unless he loses an election, he could be around well into the 2020s. So... And he started in 2002, so that's a long time. And I don't see him changing his mind, although they say he's a pragmatist. Maybe something will happen.
Thank you.
Yeah. We heard about you socializing with some folks there in Istanbul and eating turkey. What else do you do on your free time while you're there?
Well, it's such a beautiful country. I mean, there's so many parts of it that I still haven't seen after 8 years there. I would love to do more weekend travel and that sort of thing. I've been down the Aegean coast a bit into the central Cappadocia, Anatolia area, and then a lot of time, of course, down by the border, which when you're not working and finding refugees is a very beautiful place. And then some of the former Soviet republics, some of the stands are beautiful. Kyrgyzstan, we've always wanted to go there. So travel, I think, would be high on the list. And just making friends. And my wife, Nevet's very good at making friends for us who aren't other journalists. So we get to know some Turks, and it's always good.
How do you find that balance between work and free time? It seems like sometimes in the culture of the journalist is sort of this altruistic work, work, work. Have you found balance?
Yeah, I try. You know, music is good because you don't really have to go anywhere for that. But work can be dominating. It comes and goes in cycles, though, really. I mean, at the moment, the news from Turkey's very quiet. You know, I've been gone for 3 weeks or more, and nobody's called me and said, why aren't you back there? So but it could pick up at any time, and then you're very busy. And you just have to find a way to take some time off. And I have to say, the editors at NPR are pretty understanding. They do keep a pretty good lookout for burnout, and they try to give you some time off.
All right. And you said music is a good antidote to burning out. You have your mandolin over there. Have you found folks to play with? Or
I just got a brand new instrument, actually, that I'm very fond of, but I still need to figure out how to play it.
Which is?
A sitar. It's kind of longer than a mandolin. Different
tuning. More strings,
tune.
Too, right?
10 strings, yeah, that's right, this one. Open tuning, which is different. So I'm trying to figure that out.
So next time when you come here, will you play sitar for us?
A sitern. Sorry.
Oh, sitern. Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. If I have time to practice up, maybe.
Let's take a little break here if you're just tuning in. This is Juno Afternoon Special Edition. We have a live audience here at 360 in the KTOO building, and we're with Peter Kenyon.